today. You look outside, it is actually looking like Christmas. It's starting to snow, which is great. Anybody excited about the snow this morning? All right, a couple of you. That's good. That's good. Well, hey, if we have not had the opportunity to meet, my name is Rob Zimmerman. I'm the lead pastor here at Westgate, and I'm so excited you've chosen to worship with us this morning as we kick off the Christmas season together. You'll notice we've got a whole bunch of fantastic kids up here this morning. Are they not looking great? We have got an awesome service planned this morning, full of different elements of worship and also teaching segments. We hope that it will just be a great and worshipful morning for you. If you are a guest, though, here today, can I just invite you, one, I'm glad that you are here. If you would like to get connected here at Westgate and find different ways to get involved, one of the best first steps to do so is to grab the connection card that you'll see in the pew in front of you. You can turn that in at the close of the service out at our guest center, they would love to give you a small gift to say thank you for being here, but also answer any questions you might have about the church. So please be sure to do that. Also, as you walked in this morning, you will see that there were sermon notes, but also communion elements sitting at all of the tables. Hopefully, you were able to grab them. If you didn't, our ushers will come through during the service when we have communion. You can slip up your hand, and they will bring you some of the elements as well. So we are going to get this morning started with our kids. So once again, would you give them a huge round of applause as they get our worship started?
A savior.
awesome. They did great, did they not? Give them a huge round of applause. Awesome. It is great. They have been practicing for the past about month and a half on Sunday mornings, and obviously just did a fantastic job this morning. You know, as we dive into the Christmas season together, we're going to be going into a series that is entitled The Missing Piece. And we're going to spend this Christmas season talking about the peace that God gives to us. Now, I want to ask you guys, especially you here, how many of you, again, like doing puzzles? Let me see. Raise your hand. All right. A good number of you like doing puzzles. I love to do puzzles personally. Now, I know that this is second service, not first. There's a bunch of adults still out here. Do you think they like doing puzzles as well? What do you think? Let's take a look and ask them. How many of you like to do puzzles? Let me see raise hands. Whoa, that's a lot. First service, they were kind of boring. But these guys, they love to do puzzles. I love doing puzzles. It's one of the things my dad and I love doing. We get together sometimes when I was little. We'd do those small little 10-piece puzzles. When I got older, we would do like 5,000 piece puzzles. And we would spend hours and days putting a puzzle together on a table. But let me ask you this question. I know you know the answer. What is the worst thing that can happen when you're putting a puzzle together? Right here. You lose a piece, right? You get to putting the puzzle together, and all of a sudden, there's this big hole right in the middle of the puzzle, and you can't see the whole picture. And so what do? You look for it. You do everything you can. You dive under the table. You know that it's got to be there. You look on all the chairs. You look around the table. You go look for the dog. You look in a shoe, right? You search high and low because we hate when there's a missing piece. Well, did you know that the Bible also says that there's peace that is missing in this world, but it's different from like a missing piece of the puzzle or like you might consider a piece of pie. If you look on the screen, it's the word P-E-A-C-E. This type of peace that the Bible says is missing from our lives is like a peace that we have in our hearts when everything feels settled. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you like getting in trouble? Oh, wait, let me rephrase that. How many of you get in trouble? All right, there, much better, right? When I was your age, was the king of getting in trouble. I actually went to school and studied it, okay? I was a pro. And I can remember one time playing outside with my older sister and my neighbor, Michael. Michael lived next door, and they were older. They always kind of picked on me. And one day, I was standing out there with them playing with this set of plastic binoculars that had a string on it. As I was playing, Michael and my sister decided that they were going to come and try to take them from me. And I'm like, no way. But they also brought the evil, ferocious cat named Snipper with them. Snipper had big claws. And the three of them were walking across the grass towards me. As I'm standing there, I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to do? So what do I do? I think of David and Goliath. How would David respond in this situation? I took those binoculars and I wound them up around my head. Got a good thing going, and I let them go right at my sister, hit her square in the forehead, and they exploded. She had this like huge goose egg on the front of it, and I remember sitting there thinking, yes, victory. And then what did I hear? Do you guys remember what I heard? No. I heard the door at my house fling open and slam shut, and I knew something bad was about to happen. It was my dad. Here comes my dad. And all of a sudden, the peace and victory that I had in my heart was long gone. I knew that in just a few moments, my dad was likely going to give me a spanking, and I was in a lot of trouble. You see, when we talk about peace in our hearts, peace that we're talking about this morning, when we say that the Bible says that the world is lacking in peace, it means this. Is that peace means that we're free from disturbance, free from conflict, worry, or anxiety. And there are a lot of things in our world that take our peace away. It can be when we make bad decisions and we know we might get in trouble, all of a sudden we don't feel very peaceful. It could be we see that there are wars that happen in our world and there seems to be a lack of peace. We don't feel settled. It can be because maybe we've gotten in a fight with a friend and we've got a broken relationship, and so we don't feel peaceful about that. There are a lot of things that can do that, but I want you to think about, why is it that we lack peace in the world today? Well, the Bible tells us it's because sin came into the world. If you think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, have you guys heard that story before of Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had a perfect life with God, walking in the Garden of Eden where he provided everything that they needed. They had perfect peace until what? They decided that they would try to control their own life and seek peace for themselves and fulfillment by biting and eating into the apple that God had told them not to eat. And so what happened? When they made a decision to sin against God, sin not only impacted their relationship with God, but everything else in this world, which brought a lack of peace. When you think about it in those terms, what we see is that in our world today, people don't have a settledness and feeling good because we can't control our environment. God was the one that provided that for us perfectly. But here's the deal. That could leave us feeling hopeless. Like, how do we find this peace that we're missing? But the Bible tells us, and the prophets told us in the Old Testament, Isaiah spoke, and in Isaiah 7, verse 14, he said these words, "The Lord himself will give you a sign, and behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. The beautiful part of the Christmas story of Jesus coming into this world, his name being Emmanuel, is that God has not left us alone. He's not forgotten us in the midst of a world where we lack peace, but he sent his son and he promises that he will be with us and he continues to pursue us, working out his plan to help us find the peace that is missing from our lives. So today, we're going to be talking about this peace. And as we go to a time in just a minute of what we call meet and greet, where all the adults are going to get up and they're going to welcome each other to the service, you guys are going to head out and find your parents and sit with them. I want you all together to answer this question as you welcome each other to our service this morning. How is it that in your life you have experienced God's peace? You guys, by the way, have done a fantastic job, not just here, but singing this morning. Let's give them another big round of applause. And why don't you guys stand up and you can start heading out. And adults, stand on up and turn and greet someone and say hello to them this morning.
is from the first scripture reading of Isaiah 7. This morning we'll continue with a second reading from Isaiah 9, in which we hear four other names that Jesus is called in the prophet Isaiah for us to consider and think about this morning. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. We understand from this passage and from what the kids sang for us earlier that, you know, they're singing theology towards us as well. We were singing together that beginning of chapter 9 in Isaiah, God's talking about how he will bring a light into the people living in a land of darkness. And he will bring forth a child, and the government, the rule, the weight of the kingdom will be upon his shoulders. This government will not have an end, and it will be governed with justice and righteousness. And how will this happen? It will happen through Jesus. And he has also given these four names for us to consider, four names for us to think about. For in a name is a person's character. In a name holds a person's like attributes and their essence and who they are. You know, I think about in a name, if someone calls me, and you think about phone calls on our phone, if someone calls, what happens? The caller ID pops up, right? And it says who, and it says, you know, it might say Sue, and Sue could pop up on my phone, and I know who Sue is. I know a little bit about her. It might say Sarah, my wife. I know about our relationship. I know what she would probably want to talk about, and that's kind of revealed through that. Or if Rob calls me, I know what Rob's probably going to talk about. I know who he is, and his character is behind the phone call. If Red Cross calls me, I know what they want. They, you know, they want my blood, and I'm grateful to give, but I kind of have an idea of what they're calling for. And the last one is Scam Likely. You know, we might get calls from Scam Likely. We have an idea of their character and what they want. And so these names that appear, you know, in our lives, they mean something. And the names that Jesus is called in Isaiah, they mean something. So let's just consider about this morning. With these four names: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The first one, Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful is this name of a majesty. It's a name of what it really means is something that a human cannot fully comprehend or understand. It is full of wonder. And counselor. We kind of have an idea of what a counselor is, someone that comes alongside to comfort, to hear, to listen. We combine those together. This is who Jesus is. He is the Wonderful Counselor. And at this point in time, in this season that we're in life, how do you need to receive Jesus as Wonderful Counselor in your life? What maybe questions or decisions are you asking that you want to hear from the counselor? From input. Then he's called Mighty God. Mighty, powerful, almighty. The God that made the heavens and the earth. The mighty God who sent the plagues on Egypt. The mighty God who parted the seas. The mighty God, as we read in Psalm 23, that comes alongside and protects us as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death with his rod and staff. There's power. This is the mighty God that Paul writes about in Romans 8, where there is nothing that can ever separate us from Jesus Christ, our Lord. When we think about Jesus, who is our mighty God, what does this do for how you think of yourself or your circumstances? What does this do for the trust that you are asked to have in the Lord in our mighty God? Are you in a place of needing to trust Jesus, mighty God, this Christmas? Third name, Everlasting Father. Everlasting points to the eternal qualities of Jesus. We know from Scripture that Jesus was present at creation. He was present then, present now, present in the future, all times. He is eternal. He has always been, always is, and always will be. Everlasting Father, we understand what Father is. For we have been adopted and brought into a family with a Father who lovingly cares for us and welcomes us. We get the picture of what Jesus talks about in the parable of the prodigal son. Here is this father that sees a distant son that has rejected him, but the father is patiently waiting for the son to return. And when he sees the son, who goes out and he welcomes, embraces, and welcomes him home. Peter writes about the Father that is slow in coming because he desires none to perish, but all to come to repentance. This is the everlasting Father. This picture of Jesus, our God, who is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And finally, Prince of Peace. This prince is this picture of a leader, of a commander, of a captain who is leading and setting the example and ushering in this peace. This peace, with the English word peace and our Hebrew word is shalom, which you might be familiar with. And shalom is the space where all is well, where everything is right, where turmoil and distortion and conflict has been set aside and has been dispelled. Is the Prince of Peace who you need to experience this season in your relationships, in your job, in your home, in your neighborhood? Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In his name, we celebrate, we rejoice, and we call upon, and we continue to worship.
Amen. And the joy of the Lord brings us to worship. Amen. It draws us to a place of worship. And I want to invite you to stand. I'm going to read this scripture, and then we're going to just worship a little bit more together here. Will you stand with this as I read from Psalm 100, starting in verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. Amen. Yes.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. Lord God, we thank you for your character, your nature, like Adam spoke about. Lord, we thank you that you are wonderful counselor, everlasting Father, almighty God, the Prince of Peace. We need every aspect of that character, God. And I pray that you would just allow us to give you all of ourselves, Lord, that we would just bow in humility and place you in your rightful spot in our lives, that anything else that might be edging you out, Lord, that those things would be made low so that you can truly be our Prince of Peace, our wonderful counselor, Lord. I pray that you will just let us rest firmly in you and your character. In your name we pray, amen.
Y'all can be seated. In the next few minutes, we're going to be taking communion. And so I would encourage you, if you don't have your communion element, just raise your hand and we can have our ushers go up and down the aisles and give you your communion if you don't have that right now. And so this will be the third reading of some scripture out of Isaiah this morning. And we're going to be coming out of Isaiah 53, verse 3. We're just going to be focusing in on just one verse before we take communion. And it says this: He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. And so this verse was written many, many years before Jesus came to this earth, okay? And I just really quickly want to take it piece by piece, three little pieces, and I think it's really profound of what we find. And so the first part is he was despised and rejected. And it's really cool, not cool, how it was written so long ago, but this verse clearly depicts Jesus's life. Because it sounds like Jesus' life, despised and rejected. Jesus went around for 3 years teaching and preaching many different towns, many different places, speaking to lots of different people. And lots of people loved to hear Jesus' teachings. They couldn't wait to hear it. They were like, man, what is he going to say next? They were just on the edge of their seats. They loved him, wanted to see what he's going to do next. Then there's the other side. Many other people despised Jesus. They did not like his teachings. They rejected them. They didn't like who he was or what he was saying he was going to do. And maybe they didn't like how he was doing it or how they thought it should be done differently. Okay? So this first part, I think, really shows us a picture of Christ's life on earth. And the next part says, a man of sorrows acquainted with deepest grief. Doesn't mean Jesus was a sad man or distraught, but he was a man, right, who came, Jesus, God came to earth and he endured a lot. He endured a lot of sorrows and hard things. And the first thing I thought about was Jesus coming out of glory to come to earth, right? Leaving a perfect place to come to a broken place and to be born a helpless baby. And the first thing he's smelling is that barn smell. Like that's his first experience here on earth. The creator of the universe, the creator of you and I coming to be a baby, giving up his authority over everything to be helpless. And then after that, right, growing up as a human being, having the same troubles and heartaches and issues and hard things, situation, ailments that humans have, skin, blood, bones, experiencing that stuff, broken relationships, all that kind of stuff. And then also, right, the last thing, the big one where he gives his life up for you and me. His death on the cross. Taking on sin. Taking on the wrath of God for us. So when you hear a man of sorrows acquainted with deepest grief, he had that. And then lastly, he says, we turn our backs on him and look the other way. He was despised and we did not care. If you know the story of Jesus' last hours, right, he was deserted by the people closest to him. They deserted him. They ran away. And even to this day, right, those who hear about him still desert and reject his truth and who he is. So as I read this verse and kind of went through my own head of thinking of these things and talking to God about it, it didn't at all seem peaceful to me. It actually seemed very unpeaceful, like this verse and Jesus' life and even his last hours. I thought about what those moments were like and how he must have felt lonely and betrayed and hurt and nervous and scared and stressed out and all these human emotions that he would have felt because he was not only 100% God, but 100% man. Christ went through something incredibly unpeaceful so we could experience incredible peace. Peace that supersedes all understanding, because life is not peaceful. Life is hard and it is difficult. There's things that go on. There's things that happen that are bad, right? The holidays, the Christmas season, it's chaotic. But in the midst of those unpeaceful times, we can experience peace because of Christ and what he did for us. He conquered chaos. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered worldly suffering. He experienced the unpeaceful so we could have peace in unpeaceful times. And so with that in mind, I want us to take communion together. And before we take the bread, I want you guys to think about areas in your life where there is no peace right now, where it's unpeaceful. Areas of your life where it may seem chaotic, where it may seem a mess, where there might be hurt feelings, it might be difficulties, whatever it might be. Think of those moments, and then after you've thought about them, connect it to Christ and with the truth that he understands where you're at. He understands how you're feeling. Because he came here to do that with us and feel us. So he understands in a way no one else does. And so for a few minutes or a few moments, think about those and connect them to Christ and how he understands. Jesus, I am so thankful that you are a God who understands. Jesus, we can find peace because of what you went through. We can find peace in our chaos because you endured it and you conquered it. You have authority over it. Jesus, thank you for enduring that for us. Church, let's eat together. Thank you, Jesus. Now, before we drink the cup, I want you to imagine all those things you just thought about. The unpeaceful moments, scenarios, situations, hardships, heartaches, all of it. And I want you to imagine, so you may have to close your eyes for this. I have to close my eyes to imagine things. Christ's blood just covering it. Pouring over top of all those scenarios and situations. Covering your chaos in his perfect blood that brings peace into our life. Jesus, thank you for your blood that covers over every single sin. Thank you for your blood that brings peace here on earth. And then one day when we're in glory, brings peace for eternity. Thank you for that, Jesus. Church, let's drink. Jesus, once again, I want to thank you for the life you lived, for the choices you made on the behalf of your creation. You didn't have to come here. You didn't have to be born in a barn next to animals. You didn't have to be rejected and despised. You didn't have to be put up on that cross and embarrassed and mocked and ridiculed, but you chose to do it for us. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you for giving us the peace that we never could have had on our own. I pray in your name.
Been looking at the words of the prophet Isaiah this morning, and he also gave this prophecy of the future Messiah in Isaiah 61 verse 1 when he said these words. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." You know, over this past week, following Thanksgiving, my family, we went to a movie together. My cousin had come into town, and I don't often get a chance to go to the movies, but we went and saw the movie Bonhoeffer. Has anybody here seen this movie yet? Such a phenomenal, phenomenal movie. If you want to get an idea, if you don't know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer was, just look at the title of the movie, Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Spy, Assassin. I feel like I have reached level one, and I'm beginning to question if there's a second and a third level. Maybe not, but Bonhoeffer was a German pastor who lived at a time in our world where there was very little peace, during World War II and the rise of Adolf Hitler. And you see in the movie, and as you learn or read about the history of Bonhoeffer's life, it came while Hitler was rising to power in Germany. World War II was raging. Hitler had started the extermination of the Jews. But also one of the things that seemed to be upsetting the peace in the world at that time was also the fact that he, even within the church, Hitler was demanding allegiance to Nazi teaching. Nazi teaching that would deny the divinity of Jesus, that would ignore what he considered to be the Jewish Old Testament, which was not important to read, but also he demanded allegiance to himself as a godlike figure that was meant to be followed and also worshiped. You see, Bonhoeffer spent his life during those years speaking out and preaching often about what was taking place in the church as he saw people not boldly proclaiming their allegiance to God, but their allegiance to this evil man. And as he spoke out, he pitted himself against Hitler and his forces. Not to ruin the movie for you, but ultimately, towards the very end of World War II, right before the place where he had been held captive had been liberated by the Americans, he gave his life. His life was taken from him as he went to the gallows and was hung because of his opposition. You know, there's a person who wrote in history that said they had talked with someone that was present at Bonhoeffer's death. And these are the words that were spoken. He said, "I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer kneeling on the floor praying fervently to God. I was most deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed. He was so devout and so certain that God heard his prayer. At the place of execution, he again said a very short prayer and then climbed the few steps to the gallows, brave and composed. His death ensued, and his death ensued after just a few seconds. In the almost 50 years that I worked as a doctor, I have hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God. What is it that could bring a person experiencing such lack of peace with war raging, watching the church walk away from their fidelity to God, even with his life hanging in the balance? What is it that could lead a person like Dietrich Bonhoeffer to experience such incredible peace amongst chaos that is raging around? You know, I find it is because often in our world today, when we speak of peace, what we're actually searching for is that we see peace in terms of a cessation of trouble or hardship. We think of peace as a ceasing of war, that wars will stop. Or we think of peace as healing from a broken or a strained relationship. We see peace as the absence of health issues or financial worry. We see it as the removal of worry, hurt, pain, fear, or anxiety from our hearts. Essentially, peace in our world seems that it can only be achieved when the status quo is not upset and life seems to be going the way that we desire for it to go. And you know, this is also how God's people envisioned peace during the time of the exile. You see, the passage that I began reading was spoken by the prophet Isaiah at a time where Israel had already been in exile. Assyria and Babylon had come and taken the northern and southern kingdoms and dragged them away from their home. They were separate from the place where the temple was, where they would worship. They were forced to basically acclimate into a whole different culture and literally lose their own identity. And if there was anything that they longed for, the one thing that they thought would bring them peace, it was that someone would come, remove their oppressor, remove their enemy, allow them to go back to their land, and just keep living life the way that they believed they should. But here's the deal. When Isaiah spoke these words, Israel would have heard them thinking, oh, maybe this is a promise that all of those things will happen. They never could have imagined, though, that the message God was speaking through the prophet was a message to tell them that God was most concerned with the deepest issue of their heart. And the deepest issue wasn't just the oppressors that were over them. It was the sin that resided there that separated them from a holy God. You see, in Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." When we think of the word poor, we often think of people who lack the resources to take care of themselves or situations that may come their way. And this here, as Isaiah speaks, is the words that the coming Messiah, Jesus himself, would ultimately fulfill. But what he came was not for those who were physically poor in the world, but for those who lacked the resources to heal the brokenness in their relationship with God because of the sin that separated. They were poor. They were poor in spirit. They were poor. They were broken. And Jesus proclaims, God proclaims through the prophet that he comes to meet us where we cannot fix the problem of sin in our life. There is only one who can, and that is Jesus. And he continues that he comes to give good news for the poor, but he also says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. You see, when he says these words, what it says is that Jesus has come to mend broken hearts. Not only has he come to tell us of the good news that if we put our faith and trust in him, that we can experience salvation, we can experience peace again, but he wants to heal our broken hearts that have been affected by sin. He says that he came to set the prisoner free, people that have been imprisoned. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt trapped, where you were in a place and you couldn't get out. When I was younger, a friend of mine went over to my elementary school, and I was, I think at the time I was in fifth grade. It was during the summer. We got into the building. We were running around, causing all kind of havoc, and we were going up and down the elevator, and we went into this one elevator. We hit the button to go up a floor, and it started to move, and then all of a sudden, it stopped right in the middle of the floors. And of course, in that moment, my friend and I have this kind of look at each other like, uh-oh, a moment of panic. What do? We start trying to pry the doors open, and all we can see is that we are directly in the middle of these two floors, and there is no way that we're getting out. And so we do what any common young men would do. We think, let's push the alarm button. It doesn't work. We're trapped. Then there's a phone. The phone, it's got to call somebody. We pull it out. Nothing. Fully trapped, sitting there wondering, what are we going to do? So what do? We start screaming at the top of our lungs. Somebody come find us. Somebody come help us. In the first service, I forgot to finish the story, and somebody actually walked up to me and said, you didn't tell us what happened. Did you get out? I think so. I did get out. But that feeling of being trapped, of being imprisoned, Jesus came to free those who have been imprisoned by sin. Have you experienced the imprisonment of sin in your life? How it binds us? It feels as though we can't get away from it. It follows us wherever we go, and we feel trapped. And God says that he sent his son Jesus into this world to free you and to pronounce freedom, and that he has come to set the prisoner free, that you would no longer be bound by sin, but you would experience freedom through Jesus Christ. And he continues, if you were to look at verses 2 and verse 3 in this chapter, it says that he also came to announce salvation, to proclaim that through Jesus you can receive this freedom that you long for, the peace that your heart desires. It tells us that he came to comfort those who are mourning, but even more to bring joy in the place of our mourning, joy that will allow us that no matter if the world is crumbling around us and falling apart, if there is chaos that is infecting our lives, that we can experience God's peace in the middle of an absence of peace in our world. And that is ours through Jesus Christ. You see, the whole mission of Jesus is that he came into this world to restore the peace that has been missing all of our lives and that we have been longing for. And it's not just a cessation of trouble. It is peace with God. Because when we are at peace with God and we understand the promise that this life we live is temporary, but we will live somewhere for eternity, when we have given our hearts to him, our hearts come to a place of peace no matter we face. Just like Dietrich Bonhoeffer walking to the gallows, knowing that though the situation he walked into was terrifying and difficult and would be painful and would end with the loss of his life, he could go with hope, courage, boldness, and peace. And God wants you to know this morning that that peace can be yours through Jesus Christ, that you can have a peace that surpasses all understanding in this world when your heart is at peace with God. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for the opportunity this morning that we have had to talk about this incredible gift that you give to us in your peace. I thank you, God, that it's not just fixing our little problems here and there, but it's even deeper, that you go to the very root issue in our lives, which is the sin that separates us from you. And I thank you, God, that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus from the perfection of heaven to come down into this world to live in our broken experience and to ultimately live and die and to give his life to pay the penalty for our sin so that we could be right with you and experience this peace that our hearts have longed for since the very beginning in the Garden of Eden when humanity sinned against you until today. And God, we praise you and we thank you that you have demonstrated your love for us in such an incredible way that you wouldn't push us aside as those who have sinned or rebelled against you, but that you would extend to us your love and invite us into relationship with you where we can experience this peace. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I know that there are those in this room that maybe have never placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Maybe you have been on a journey of searching and asking questions of faith for a long time. And maybe God is putting it on your heart this morning. As you think about that peace, you think about the brokenness of our world, the chaos, even in your own personal life, and you go, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of trying to find it in a world that always fails me. Maybe today is the day that you decide to put your faith in Jesus and receive that gift of salvation and peace that you have longed for. If you want to make that decision today, I would just invite you, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, that you would pray this in your heart quietly with me. Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I have sinned against you, but I declare today that I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he came into this world and died in my place, taking my sin and my punishment so that I could be restored in a right relationship with you. I believe that not only did he die, but he rose again, claiming victory over death, so that I could receive the gift of peace that you have always wanted for me. Today, I declare my faith and my trust in you. I surrender my heart to you. I ask that you would forgive me of my sin, that you would cleanse me and make me white as snow, and that, Father, you would help me as I seek to grow in a relationship with you, surrendering all that I am to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I want you to know it's not a magical prayer, but it's a prayer of commitment, of giving your heart and your life to the Lord. And God's word says that when you pray and you surrender your heart and your life to God, that you literally become a part of his family, and you can know without a shadow of a doubt that your life is hidden with him for eternity. And we praise God for that. If you prayed that prayer today, can I just encourage you with one thing? You'll see a small card that is in the pew in front of you. It says, I said yes today. Can I just encourage you before you leave to fill out that card? You can drop it in one of the giving boxes. You can bring it to our prayer team at the end. The reason is I would love to connect with you, but we also have a bag that we would love to give you that has a brand new Bible and some discipleship materials in it. We want to walk with you on your journey as you begin to walk with Christ and follow him. Church, I also recognize that there are many of you here that while you may have been walking with Jesus for quite some time, that sometimes we forget the peace that we have in him. And we allow the chaos and the brokenness of our lives and also the world that surrounds us to rob us of that peace. My hope is that as we go through this Christmas season is that you would reconnect with the greatest gift that you have ever been given in and through Jesus Christ, and you would live in the victory that he won for you, and that you would experience his peace no matter what the world throws at you. Father, I pray over this church, and I ask for each individual here, no matter what it is that they are walking through today, whatever it is that has been robbing them of their joy, broken relationships, financial difficulty, decisions that have brought consequences, wars or things that are happening in our world, whatever it is that is robbing them of their peace, Father, would you be with them today and remind them of the hope that they have in you through Jesus Christ? And would you lift their spirit and their countenance to live in the victory that is ours through your Son? We worship you and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and worship with us? Did you guys take the offering? I know they were like, I knew. I was like, the second I walked off, they're like, he didn't do it. Thank you. Hey, can I just say thank you? For those of you that give, you enable us to continue to reach our community with the good news of Jesus. So thank you. If you have offerings and you missed it this morning, you can also give at the boxes that are at the back. If you're a guest, please feel free. You don't have to give. It's for people that call Westgate Chapel home. We are just glad you're here and enjoyed our service this morning. But can I give you just a couple things real quick before you go? A couple really cool things. Number one, if you're new here at Westgate in the last few months, we have a new people party next Sunday following the second service. Pizza, hang out with the staff. We want to get to know you and vice versa. And so we'd invite you to register for that and come. Please put that on your calendar. Two ways to be connected and do some awesome stuff this Christmas season. Number one, bless a child. Many of you have already gotten involved with buying gifts for families and children that are in the 04, kind of the most impoverished area in our community. If you would still like to participate, you can go to the table that is set up in the cafe, scan the QR code, and it'll tell you what the needs are. But there are still needs for toys for different families. And so be a part of that opportunity of serving other people. Also, we've got on December 11th, we've got our huge Westgate event at the Ribbon. Now, I've heard rumblings of some people saying, oh, well, this isn't for me. I don't ice skate or I can't go. Can I tell you something? These old knees are not getting on ice skates, just to be clear. I need to be able to walk. So this event, we are going to have tables that are set up, fires that are going. Even if you don't ice skate, it is a time for us to fellowship, to talk of God's goodness. We want you to come out. We got 300 people registered already, and a lot of people that don't go to Westgate that are your friends that have been invited. And so I would encourage you, continue to register. But after the service today, at a table in the cafe, you can pick up your wristbands if you've already registered. So please come out. Be sure to join us on December 11th from 6 to 9. Now, we just sang a really awesome song that said, He has done great things. Can I tell you some great things that God did this last week? Last Sunday, three people put their faith in Jesus for the first time. God is good. We celebrate there what God is doing. After the International Thanksgiving that we did last Sunday night, we are aware of two international students that put their faith in Jesus for the first time. Excited about that. And I am hearing story after story of you sharing the good news of the gospel with your friends and people making decisions to follow Jesus. Church, this is what it is all about. We have so much to be thankful for and what God has done. And so as you go today, I want to invite you, if you made that decision to follow Jesus today for the first time, come talk to our prayer team that is here at the front. They would love that opportunity to just talk with you, pray with you. We've got a Bible and devotional materials we would love to give to you. But also, if you've got any prayer needs, they would just love to spend some time praying with you today. But church family, as you go, live out the peace that God gives you and allow people to see that so that they would see Jesus in you this Christmas season and know and have hope just like you. So go out from this week, go out this week and serve the Lord with all of your heart and be His light to the world that is around you. God bless you. Have a great week as you serve the Lord.